You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education podcast and another General Election 2019 special. I'm Naomi First and today I'm joined by THE's data editor Simon Baker. Simon, thanks for joining us.
No problem, it's good to be here. Thanks.
One of the stories that's come up a number of times in the press in relation to the December 12 election is how students are able to register to vote in two constituencies, their hometown and their university residence. This means that some may have the opportunity for a bit of tactical voting. Simon, can you explain a bit more about what that means exactly?
Right, hi, yes. So, essentially, and there's been a little bit controversy about this online, students, because they're, well, this doesn't just apply to students, it applies to anybody who works or moves between two addresses frequently and quite legitimately during a year. You can be registered in more than one address in the UK for a general election and council elections and other elections, but in a general election, it's the law that you can only actually vote in one place. Actually, when it comes to council elections, you are allowed to vote in more than one place, so because they're obviously all voting about what's relevant to your local area. So you could, if you had council elections one year and they were in, you were registered in two different places, you could vote in those two different places, I believe. But a general election, no, it's illegal. You can only vote in one place. And the reason why this has been controversial online is because students have been pointing this out, or other people have been pointing out that make sure you're registered at your term time address. It's fine if that's where you're going to be on December the 12th. You have to be registered there, but don't worry about already being registered at home as long as you only vote in one place. And then some people have interpreted this to mean that students are going to somehow fraudulently vote in two places, which obviously, as long as it's clear to them they can only vote in one place, they can be registered in two places. It's not a problem. And I think there is a bit of confusion about this sometimes.
Yeah, sure. And when we're talking about the tactical aspects, so of course, as you said, they can only vote once. That's been made very clear, I think, in a lot of reports we've seen.
Yeah.
But with the tactical aspect,
yeah,
it's a case of if their hometown is perhaps a more marginal seat than their university residence, then they might want to consider voting there. Or
yeah,
is that kind of thing that we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, so the more kind of politically savvy students, they can obviously think about where their vote's going to count the most, and then make sure if they are registered at home and at their university address, vote in the constituency that is more marginal and where their vote might count the most. So obviously, and they could do that even if, say, they're at university on December the 12th. They could, if they decide their home address is, their vote is more useful there, they could have arranged a postal vote so that they're actually voting in that constituency, as long as they then don't turn up at a polling station at their university that day. So yeah, the voting tactically thing is they can choose which constituency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in reality this is a little bit overplayed, in that I'm not sure how many students would do that, would actually kind of go to the trouble of deciding which one is best to vote in, and then if, say, it's their home address and they're not there, arrange a postal vote, and vice versa, if they've gone home but they wanted to make sure it was at their term time address, do it there. It's going to be the students that are really interested in politics that do that. I think it's more likely that a lot of students will go, well, I want to vote in the election, but I'll suddenly realise I'm going to be at university on December the 12th, I better make sure I'm registered. I think that's a much more likely scenario than maybe students actually voting tactically, but no doubt there will be some that do that.
Okay. And, I mean, we did see in the 2017 election a few seats where the student vote did have a huge impact. So, for example, in Canterbury. So can you just explain a bit what happened in Canterbury in 2017?
Yeah, so Canterbury was an unusual result in that it had been held by the Conservatives ever since the constituency was kind of basically established around 100 years ago. There'd never been a Labour win. And in fact, the 2015 result meant that the Tories were quite a long way ahead of Labour and it didn't really look like a particularly marginal seat. But just because there are actually three universities that have students living in that area, there's the University of Kent, there's Canterbury Christchurch, and then there's, I think, the University of Creative Arts have got a campus there as well. And I think the census data show that there's just so many students that live in that area that if they all vote kind of in one direction, then it could sort of change the result. We identified that in our modelling of the student voting or student sort of census data last time around. We gave Canterbury kind of we scored it quite highly as somewhere that could be impacted by students, even though it wasn't marginal. And that's what happened. Because so many students voted Labour, I think, then it changed that constituency, and it became one of these places. There were a few other places around the country where students seemed to sort of cause some surprising results.
Okay. And so if we move on to the imminent December 12th election, so I understand, Simon, you've been working with the data team to work out which seats could face the biggest student impact in this election, which is something that you also did for the 2017 poll.
Yeah.
And you outlined, actually, in this week's THE magazine, how you give each seat a THE impact score.
Yeah.
So can you just explain a bit what that means, how it works?
Sure. So to try and sort of boil down the methodology of this, which we followed exactly the same methodology as last time, we looked at how many students live in a constituency compared with the population. That's based on census, the last census. So it's a little bit old, but it gives you a general idea of how many students tend to live in that area. We've then kind of combined that basically with data on university campuses and where they are. So it's not just where is the main university's main campus in each case, it's where do they have campuses dotted around, are they near constituencies. So then we've also added into the mix how marginal seats were at the last election. And combining all those things, we've basically come up with a potential impact score of whether students could change or impact the result of in a particular constituency. And that could be in any direction, in any party. I mean, it's not, you know, according to any sort of data on how students are most likely to vote. It's just, you know, in terms of sort of their block as a number and how marginal the seat is, could they influence the result in some way? So it's not always kind of perfect, because the one thing you have to bear in mind here is that it's based on the result in 2017. And if the polling now is showing that actually that seat, that constituency is not close, or is quite clearly going to go in another direction, then it's probably the result of this might show that it's the potential impact to students is higher than it really will be. Because I'll give you an example, there's some Scottish seats where the SNP won quite narrowly last time from Labour sometimes, and it might be in an area where there's a lot of students, but the polling this time probably might show that the SNP are well ahead. So it comes out in our data with some of these seats that they could be impacted by students, but the reality is that the polling indicates that the SNP are just going to win the seat, so okay. You know, students won't make much difference. But there are some interesting results here for sure. Yeah, Canterbury actually comes up second.
Yeah. I saw you highlighted a few with there's a few that have very high THE impact scores. So yeah, you just mentioned Canterbury.
Yeah.
And then another Scotland seat, Fife North East, which you've given a score of 100 out of 100 for impact. So can you talk about that one?
Yeah. So it's a scaled score. So 100 is basically the highest one. Everything else is kind of worked out relative to that. But Fife North East comes out top because essentially it's the University of St Andrews is the major kind of institution that can impact that area. And the winner last time, the SNP, they won it by, I think it was 2 votes.
Wow.
So it was kind of the most sort of ultra marginal seat, basically. So if you then put that into our model and the fact that it's got St Andrews there, yeah, then it's a very students could clearly impact could impact the result there if it's close this time. But I believe that it's quite a complicated seat in that it may be, I think someone told me, it might be a three-way marginal in some respects. So and also that although we tend to look, you can quite sometimes think, students, they're voting in one direction. You look at the national polling and you think, okay, so they're more likely to vote Labour overall. Well, St Andrews, yeah, I'm not sure you could sort of just apply that to St Andrews. If you think about the mix of students there, a lot of English students, actually from quite well-off backgrounds. I'm not suggesting that that might mean that they might vote a different way, but it's not a typical cohort or students for a Scottish university or for any university, to be honest. So, yeah, it's an interesting seat.
Okay, so there's always a few other factors to consider.
Definitely,
as well.
Yeah.
Okay, another one that you highlighted, I think for a different reason, was Guildford.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit more about that one?
So Guildford is interesting because it doesn't actually score very highly in our model. It only gets an impact score of 8. And that's because the Tories won that seat by a margin of about 30% last time. They had a huge majority. It's been a pretty safe Tory seat for a long time. But what makes Guildford interesting is that it's an area that has a lot of people who voted Remain. Mm-hmm. There's a big campaign push for the Lib Dems to kind of, for Remainers to vote for the Lib Dems. A lot of kind of Tory voters are unhappy with the sort of the Brexit leaning policy that the party has now. Another major factor is one of the Tory rebels. This is one of the Tories that kind of was voting against the government, had the whip withdrawn, is standing there as an independent. So you've got the Tories, you've got an independent who's going to take a lot of votes off the Tories, you've got the Lib Dems trying to win it, and you've got a big university slap bang in the middle of the town, University of Surrey. So depending on how those students vote, it could be an interesting seat. There was some polling done recently by YouGov, where they've done this huge poll that looked at the potential results in each individual seat. I think that in Guildford there was only a 5-point gap. The Tories were ahead, but only by 5 points. You could see that being a surprise on election night, there's no doubt, and students could impact the result there.
Okay, so definitely one to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. And I will just point out here that if THE readers go onto the web version of the article that Simon's written on these impact scores and the different seats, you can actually go onto an interactive table where you can put in any of the seats and you can find out, as Simon was explaining, student population, the result from the 2017 election, how marginal it is, and of course the impact score. So do go online and test it out. So, Simon, are you expecting a big student turnout in this election, and how do you think it will compare to 2017?
So that's the million-dollar question, really, and the big question that influences whether students will impact the result in seats or overall. Nobody really knows how the turnout's going to be. What we do know is that in the build-up to this election, after it was announced, in the last few weeks, there have been hundreds of thousands of people registering to vote. If you compare voter registrations this time compared with last time, and I had a look at the government's data, there's a dashboard, you can just Google it, election registration dashboard. It shows you how that happened over the last few weeks. There was a very big kind of sort of spike the day before the registration deadline, like last time, about 600,000 people I think registered. That was no different, but what was different compared with last time is there was much more of a build-up over the weeks. There were a lot more individual spikes over those weeks, whereas last time it kind of, no one seems to register and they all did it in the last few days. So, and the figures are quite astonishing. You're talking about
about 1 million people under 25 who registered in those few weeks. Now, that, I suppose one thing to say about that is that you would think that people registering to vote that late have a very high intention of voting. Why would you register that late if you weren't going to vote? So that's one factor that suggests that turnout among young people is going to be quite high. But counterbalancing that is the fact that it's not clear from that data how many of those people were, say, students registering at their term time address, even though they'd already registered at home. So a lot of them would just be, could be students going, right, so the election has been announced. Ah, oh, right, I'm going to be at university that week. I better make sure I'm registered. So in other words, it's not extra people on the register in a sense. It's people just making sure they're registered in the right place. And there has been a big drive around that. So in that case, you're kind of not really talking about people, extra people turning out. So it's really difficult to tell. The kind of feeling you get, the sense from speaking to people, is that turnout might be higher. The reasons being that students in particular, and I don't know about other sort of young people, but students in particular, they're more likely to be on campus than last time. The last time the election was early June. A lot of them would have done their exams, a lot of them would have gone off for summer jobs, whatever their summer activities were. They're more likely to have left campus. This time, actually, there's only a few universities like Oxbridge, Warwick is another example, that will have broken up. Most will be there. Students are more likely to be still on campus, or they might just stick around long enough to make sure they can vote. So I think from that point of view, students anyway, I think the turnout might be higher.
Okay, interesting. And so finally, so we're talking about all these different predictions, and of course, as you've been saying all along, you never know what other factors will come into play or how things will work out in the end. But yeah. Let's say if your predictions are correct in terms of the seats where students have a lot of impact and we see some seats change, come December 13th.
Yeah.
Even if that does happen, I mean, are we talking about a big overall impact in terms of the overall election result? I mean, how many seats do you realistically expect the student vote to change?
Yeah, that's another really good question. I'm not sure it's going to potentially change the overall result because there are so many other factors in this election, Brexit being the major one, that are influencing people's votes in ways that we've never really seen before. That, you know, this could be a big factor, but not one that kind of really sways what happens across the country. It's just in terms of the number of seats, I think I've been told maybe about 50 where students could. The student factor might be important. Doesn't mean that they'll actually change the result in that constituency, though, because it depends on so many other sort of local factors. So my feeling about this election is that you are going to see individual seats that are surprise results, which do have a student element to them, because I just think students are mobilised in this election and the last one in ways that they haven't done in the past, and it's not always that kind of visible as well. It's you're talking about a lot of mobilisation and campaigning going on online and in social media that you can't always pick up. So I think we're going to see a student factor in individual seats, and people will go, wow, well, I didn't think that would happen, but whether that's enough seats to actually change the overall result, I'm not sure that's the case. And also another thing to bear in mind is we're kind of assuming some of this, some of these predictions are based on data which suggests that students are more likely to vote Labour, for instance. Well, that's actually not as clear cut this time. YouthSight had a poll out a couple of months ago that showed that support among students for Labour had halved in the last kind of 18 months.
A lot more students are going to vote Lib Dem this time around. I think the Greens might get a lot of votes because the environmental issue is actually higher as a priority among a lot of young people than Brexit. So, yeah, I think we're definitely going to see certain results that we can point to and say, yeah, that was definitely, students had had an influence there. But when it comes to the overall picture, I'm not so sure.
All right, so, well, we will see come December 13th. So those are some really, really interesting insights into how students could affect the election, and some really useful explanations of all of the data going on our website. As I said before, do check out Simon's articles because he really breaks it all down in a really useful way. So thank you very much, Simon.
No problem at all. Yeah, it's great to be here.
And thank you to our THU listeners. So do keep checking our website, timeshighereducation.com, and the weekly magazine for all the latest general election news, and of course to keep up to date with all of Simon Baker's data analysis.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.